Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 750. The topic is Q&A. The title is Position Adjustments and Corrections for the Conventional Deadlift and Overhead Press. This is actually going to be based off of a recent training session I had with a new client, someone who is doing aesthetic development, but they also want to be strong. And they want to be strong in their own right to kind of just be good at like single reps, but also to develop strength that can then help them better develop their aesthetics. So the stronger they are for one rep, they eventually can be stronger for sets of, you know, say 8, 10, 12, 15, 20. They can be stronger in the rep ranges that relate more to muscle mass manipulation, like muscle damage. Not only for one rep maxes. So we're setting up their positions to ensure that their muscles are accepting the load of the weight rather than their joints. So if you leverage into a joint, for example, on like a squat, sometimes people will take a wide stance, very uprighted squat, and they leverage their hips, basically their femur, their upper leg bone. They sink down until the femur would have to basically snap out of the socket, and that's how they create like stability in the bottom, which is not healthy at all, and it leads to long-term health hip problems, and it usually leads to them not really being able to hit parallel in their squat. So if they're going to like a powerlifting meet, they'll either bomb out of the meet or have to go to, you know, some kind of crappy federation where the rules don't really count. That's one of the ways people will often find strength or stability is leveraging through a joint. We don't want to do that. We want to find muscle control. And the reason why is you can't grow leverage. I can't, you know, shorten my femur, but I can build the muscles around a joint. So I want to make sure my lift is muscle-based so I can build the muscles over time. It protects the joints, and it leads to long-term greater potential and strength. So that's something we're looking for, especially in a client or anyone that is wanting to maximize their aesthetics as well as their strength. So if you're only doing strength and you do the leverage things and you don't care about the risk of injury, then so be it, but you're not going to develop your musculature as well. Whereas if you want the muscular development plus the strength development, you want to make sure the movements are muscle-based. Now, we've talked a little bit about this. I actually just talked about it in yesterday's podcast, which would have been a podcast focused around like common mistakes that people make. I'm trying to bring up the chart to bring up the actual title. So it was podcast number 748, so 2 days ago. There was a part one and a part two, and it says common mistakes holding you back. And that was one of the things we said in strength athletes was using leverages rather than using muscle-based positions. So what I wanted to do today was just talk about some of the things that we thought through whenever we were working on this client to correct and or adjust for their deadlift positioning, specific to the conventional deadlift, not the sumo deadlift, and then also overhead press. So this client, like I said, is working on all of those goals. They want to get stronger, they want to get bigger, they want, you know, bigger, faster, stronger, all those things, they want all the results possible. So the first thing we looked at, and I've met with them before, and we looked at their squat and their bench press, so I'll have to make a separate video for that, a separate podcast. But some of the things we were looking for in their conventional deadlift. We were talking about stance width. The width you take in a conventional deadlift, a lot of times people kind of base this around like how wide would your feet be when you jump? And I don't really think that's actually the best position. And I'll explain why here in a second, but that does seem to be kind of like a common kind of conception is let me jump up in the air and wherever my feet land must be where I'm going to be my strongest. No, that's not true. So there's many examples. If you look at a squat, you look at a leg press, you look at many things people do, it just because that's where you jump does not mean that's where you'll have the most pressing power. So what I tend to ask people to look for is the width of their feet is going to be kind of determined by the width of their torso. And what I mean by this is when they're in the bottom position of the conventional deadlift, their lower belly, their lower abdomen should be pressed into their quadriceps, pressed into their thighs. This gives your lower back extra stability by giving you kind of fake strength in your core. This is commonly why strongmen, if you look at professional strongmen, they'll have a really wide stance because they're freaking wide people. A lot of them are like 6'4 or taller. A lot of them are 300 plus pounds. They're enormous human beings. So therefore, their feet have to be wide enough so that way their belly can get lower kind of in between their thighs so they can reach the bar. What you'll find is if somebody's legs or feet are too narrow, as they would bend over to try to grab the bar, they have to round their back to try to get their hands on the bar. And that's because their belly is pressing into their thighs, so therefore they have to round their back to reach lower. They would want to widen their feet out just to the point where by the time they grab the bar, they can kind of pull on the bar and pull themselves into a position where their back is nice and flat. Likewise, if somebody has their feet too wide, that's not going to be a good position either. Because as they get into the bottom position, they're going to try to figure out, okay, well, where is my quote-unquote tightness in the bottom? They're going to find that they can actually go lower than what they need to reach the bar. And this is because they have no touching of the lower abdomen into the thighs. So it kind of feels like they can almost like sit on the floor or sit into like a squat position, a parallel thigh position, which is definitely not what you want at all. So what we want to do is pick a stance width that allows the upper thighs to press into the belly, but not so much so that it prevents you from having a flat lower back when you hold on to the bar. The other thing we talked about was his hands. The client's hands were actually too wide, and this was actually because their stance at first was too wide. So when we narrowed their stance, we had to then narrow their hand position. The narrower the hands to the point of them being straight down from your shoulders, you wouldn't really want to go any narrower than that. Not in a conventional deadlift, because then your stance would have to be ridiculously narrow. But you do want your hands to be kind of directly straight down from your shoulders. And this is because it lessens the stress on your lats. And it actually helps improve upper back tightness. So if somebody's hands are too wide, if their hands are wider than their shoulders, unnecessarily, meaning they have the option to bring their hands in if they wanted to, if their hands are wider than their shoulders, that's going to place extra stress load on the lats and the upper back to hold positioning. So those are two things we can look at in the conventional deadlift, is making sure our stance width allows our belly to press into our upper thighs at the right kind of rate in like place or height, so that way when we grab the bar, we can pull ourselves into a back flat position, lower back flat. We want the narrower hands, kind of hands directly down from the shoulders. The other thing we looked at was having the bar closer to the client. When they started and they were in a good starting position, the bar was about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches out in front of their shins. The problem with that was when they went to push off the floor, that space between them and the bar actually pulled them forward. And it left them feeling like they had to press up through kind of the front of their feet, like through their toes, rather than through midfoot. So you want the pressure in your foot to be the middle of your foot, more so into like the heel, but not so much into the heel that you don't have pressure in the front of your foot. The reason why is if you're too forward in your foot pressure, you're going to stress your lower back because you have to counter being too forward by pulling with stuff on the backside of you to hold you upright and keep you balanced, and that stresses and aggravates the lower back. However, if you're too far back onto your heels, and again, this is specific to a conventional deadlift, not a sumo, but if you're too far back on your heels in a conventional deadlift, you actually will decrease your quad strength, your quad power, your quad usage. You do want to use your quads when you start the conventional deadlift. So you want to have the bar nice and close, pretty much directly against your shins. That's going to help you not have to fight that distance as the bar leaves the floor. So as the bar leaves the floor, it becomes a quote-unquote part of you. You have to find center of gravity now of you and the bar so you can stay upright and not fall over. Well, the closer you have the bar to you, the closer it brings its center of gravity when it's on the floor. So that way, as it comes off the floor, there's not so much to correct. Let's say, for example, the bar is 6 inches out in front of your center of gravity. As soon as it leaves the ground, you have to try to close that gap, 6 inches. Well, if the bar is only 1 inch in front of your center of gravity, now you only have to close it 1 inch. Much better. By allowing you to be in midfoot pressure, you get the best utilization of overall thigh musculature. You get to use your hamstrings and glutes, as well as your quadriceps. The motion of the conventional deadlift was something else that we looked into. We want to think of getting the bar from when it's on the ground up to your knees. That portion of the movement is like a leg press. You want to push from the floor. It's not a pull. You're not pulling a deadlift up off the ground. You're pushing it off the ground. So you want to do a leg press motion. You want to extend your legs, not upright your torso. There's a big difference. So think about a leg press. Your torso angle stays the same. You just extend or shorten your legs. Like extend or flex, extend or flex. But you never upright yourself in a leg press, right? You're never straight up and down in a leg press. I don't even know how that would be possible. So you always have that same torso angle. You're just extending your legs or allowing your legs to bend as the platform comes down towards you. Same thing with a deadlift. The torso angle we have when we start the deadlift, we actually want to maintain that torso angle as the bar leaves the floor up to our knees. That's a leg press motion. You're pushing the bar off the floor. Then, when the bar gets to the knees, you want to squeeze your upper hamstrings and glutes and push your hips towards the bar as you flex your lats and try to pull the bar towards you. You're trying to close the distance between the bar and the hips. You want to bring the hips forward and the bar back. You want to do both. If you pull from your lower back, what tends to happen is people try to pull the bar towards them. The bar, as you get stronger, is going to be a hell of a lot heavier than you are. Therefore, it's harder for you to stay in place and have the bar come to you. The bar, since it's heavier, is going to force you to have to come to it. Well, if you're pulling from your lower back, that's a pull. That means your back is not going to want to bring your hips in. So it's an inefficient, pretty shitty lockout. That's why people have horrible lockouts. They stall once they get above their knees, and or they just kind of like have a lot of lower back stress as they try to finish a deadlift. So as the bar passes the knees, it's like doing a hip thrust. You want to squeeze the hamstrings and glutes to push the hips towards the bar, again, as you flex the lats to pull the bar towards you. So that's the idea of the movement pattern for a conventional deadlift. Then, the last thing we kind of looked at was when he was trying to create back tightness. Too often people squeeze their shoulder blades together at either the musculature above their shoulder blade or directly between their shoulder blades. This is a wrong, horrible cue for conventional deadlifting because you cannot keep your shoulder blades together and pick up really heavy weight. The really heavy weight will pull your shoulder joints forward, and it will force a spreading or separation of your shoulder blades. That is not a bad thing. That is a rounded upper back. Not a lower back. We definitely never want to round our lower back. That does put a lot of spinal pressure and can risk injury. But it's okay to have our shoulder joints pulled forward. So what I was telling them to do was think of contracting the musculature below their shoulder blade. So if you think of the two bottom inside points of the shoulder blades. So when you think of right now, if you try to squeeze your shoulder blades together, do not squeeze up and back. Do not squeeze straight back. Squeeze down. You want to squeeze your shoulder blades down towards your hips. And that is going to give you mid-back tightness, which then protects the lower back from rounding. But it also allows the shoulder blades to open up, which is necessary under max load conventional deadlifts. So those are the cues and concepts that we looked for in his deadlift. His best deadlift ever was 500 pounds. I actually helped him achieve that. And then we kind of got away from that. He wanted to do an aesthetic show, so I helped him do that. He did a great job. He got second at his first ever aesthetic show. He then kind of took some time to do his own kind of training and kind of experiment and do whatnot. And it did lead to some breakdown of technical form in his deadlift, and he was experiencing some lower back pain. So we're now coming back together to address that. So these are the corrections that we made. He then deadlifted just yesterday. No back pain whatsoever. It was totally fine. We worked up to roughly about 75-80% of his max, and there was no stress whatsoever. So we're going to now, next time come up, go ahead and go a little bit heavier. But this was just 2 days after squatting, and he had no back pain deadlifting 75% to 80% of his deadlift. 2 days after squatting. Totally awesome. Felt good. We could have went more, but we decided not to because we didn't want to. It wasn't really necessary. We were more so just kind of relearning our positions. We weren't trying to max out. So that was really fun and really good to do. Really enjoyable. I love that type of work with clients. So then what we looked at was we moved on to looking at his overhead press. So his overhead press was something that he was experiencing shoulder pain while performing the overhead press. And we looked at not only his positioning, like we did in the deadlift, but we also looked at cueing and addressing what was causing the pain. So what we ended up finding was, and this is all within a one-hour session. We already fixed the deadlifts. That only took about 30 minutes, so it's pretty easy once you know what you're looking for. Then in the overhead press, we found that his upper traps, so your traps is a short term for the word trapezius. The trapezius muscles are in your upper back. Most people, when they think of the traps, they think of the muscles on kind of the top of your shoulder that look up, like kind of go up into your ear, like big bodybuilders have big traps. So you can Google that if you want to see what the trapezius muscle looks like. But the trapezius muscle actually has a lower portion to the muscle other than just that top portion that we see that kind of sticks up above the collarbone. The lower portion, if it's weak, means that it is not doing its job to help support shoulder positioning. It's just basically the upper trap that's doing it. And the upper trap tends to lift the shoulder joint if it's the only part of the trap that's firing. That's why we do shrugs. When you do shrugs, you lift the shoulder joint up. That is the top part of the trapezius. The lower part of the trapezius is actually involved with pulling the shoulder down. So, if this feels kind of confusing, do a Google search of the trapezius muscle and look at what the anatomy shows. You'll see that the anatomy of the trapezius muscle is there's a top half of the muscle that's above the shoulder joint, if you look at like kind of a vertical alignment. I guess horizontal alignment, and then along horizontal planes, the upper trap is above the horizontal alignment of the shoulder joints, whereas the lower trap is below the horizontal alignment of the shoulder joints. So that means the upper part of the trap lifts the shoulder, the lower part of the trap pulls the shoulder down. So what was happening in his overhead press was, since his upper traps were dominant and super tight, that when he would overhead press, he would think he was creating back tightness to stabilize his shoulders, but he was actually lifting his shoulder, especially his left side, and that was actually creating instability, which was causing the pain he was having. So in his mind, he would have passed a lie detector test saying, "I am bracing my shoulders," because he felt his trapezius muscles being tight. The problem was he was bracing them up, and he actually wasn't even bracing, he was just lifting, because he was flexing the top half of the traps, not the lower half. The other compounding issue was the top part of his trapezius was so tight that he wasn't strong enough in his lower part to counter that tightness, so he couldn't actually even really contract his lower trapezius because it wasn't strong enough to overcome the tightness of the upper traps. So I did some manual therapies on him, and I kind of did some massage techniques, some deep tissue release stuff. And so we have a table in our gym that I do that stuff with. I've worked with Olympians with massage therapy and different type of techniques like this. So I feel very competent to do it. So I've read all the textbooks that you could read, and I've done it for 6-7 years now. And like I said, I've worked with professional athletes in the NFL. I've worked with professional athletes in the Major League Baseball. I've worked with Olympians, people who, like one of the Olympians I worked on was a male and female who won the BMX gold medals at the last Olympics. So very high-level people. So I got to do massage therapy on him. We loosened up some of his upper trap, especially on his left side. We then I showed him how to do it himself using a lacrosse ball. So he did some self-massage, self-release work using a lacrosse ball on his upper traps. We then did a pull-up variation called a Terry's Major pull-up. Terry's Major is a muscle that helps along with the lower trapezius to hold your shoulder joint in place as you would be able to extend your lat as you're lifting your arm overhead. So if I'm pressing a bar over my head, I can't possibly contract my lats for stability because my lat is connected to my upper arm bone. If I contract my lat, I can't extend my arm. So you can't use your lats for bracing stability in an overhead press. You have to use your lower traps and your Terry's Major, this tiny little muscle there out by your shoulder joint. It's not so tiny when you work on it, though. So one of the people I work with is a Major League Baseball pitcher, and his Terry's Major is huge because we're trying to find stability to help his throwing arm. So we did a Terry's Major pull-up. I'm going to include a video of this on our social media channels. So our social media, you can find us under the name Brutal Iron Gym on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'll be showing the Terry's Major pull-up video later today. This is October 8th, 2020. So you'll be able to see it there. A Terry's Major pull-up is basically just a straight arm hang from a pull-up bar, and you contract the Terry's Major in the lower traps to just lift the body. It's like a scapular contraction rather than a kind of an arm bend type pull-up. It's just scapular retraction, that's it. But what that does is it activates the mind-muscle connection with the Terry's Major in the lower traps, and it strengthens them so that when the person performs the overhead press, they can know what that would feel like to contract those two muscles. So they mimic that feeling. And then over time, as you do that movement, it strengthens those muscles. So then they can do a better job of being found like kind of on their own with a mind-muscle connection. And they'll eventually be strong enough for him to counter the strength of his upper traps. So he needs to make sure his trapezius muscles are balanced in strength, so that way he can have proper shoulder bracing when he does overhead lifts. The same things I run into when I work with CrossFit athletes. So I've worked with people who've gone to the CrossFit Games. And this is something we work on all the time to work for efficiency of overhead pressing and strength of overhead pressing. Obviously, it would be also stabilization in like a clean and press or in snatch, stuff like that, like Olympic lifts. The other thing we did was with his overhead press movement, we had to widen his hands a little bit. So he's a very wide-shouldered human being. So what was happening was his hand angle, his hand position was so narrow when he would press that his upper arm bone was kind of jamming into the socket of his shoulder at the top. And he couldn't find stability, and he actually had kind of like an extension pain, and it was because he didn't have the range of motion. And it was nothing wrong with him or his body, it's just his shoulders was too wide for how narrow his hands were. So the upper arm bone was coming, lifting, and kind of jamming into the end range of his shoulder joint. So we had to widen his hands out a little bit. That made him feel kind of a little more exposed, so to speak, at the bottom of the movement. But the reason why he felt unstable and exposed in that position, because he hadn't been previously using his Terry's Major and his lower trap to hold positioning as he pressed. So what we did was, now that we kind of loosened his upper traps, we activated the Terry's Major in the lower traps with the Terry's Major pull-ups. He now could, before every single press, mimic that sensation of the Terry's Major contraction. So then his shoulder was completely stabilized. He would press overhead. Now that he had a wider hand position, the upper arm didn't jam into the socket. And he got a much better overall position. And he said there was no pain. So he was able to lift with no pain in the first time in a very, very long time, years. So that was all done in a 1 hour training session. We corrected all of his deadlift positions, got rid of all pain, and he felt stronger in the newer position. We corrected his overhead press using positional changes, but also therapies. Lacrosse ball therapy, and also the Terry's major, like an assistance kind of priming movement, a corrective specialist kind of exercise. So we were able to do that and correct his positioning with the overhead press all in 1 hour. Freaking awesome. Love this stuff. The previous session, like I said, we did a squat and his bench press. This is fun stuff, amazing stuff. I love these things. So I'm always fired up when I get these kind of training sessions. And I thought it'd be fun to share in the podcast. So it's a very specific podcast because we're talking about positioning of just two lifts. But I think it might be fun for people to see what goes into some of the thought processes of trying to find the right positions. Also, if you're interested in help, of course, we would always be happy to help. I have clients all across the United States, from New York out to California, and I have people over in Europe, people in South, Mexico, basically. So people all over the North American continent and over in Europe. So, and I'm actually talking with a client right now in Japan, so pretty cool. So if you want help, but you're not in the local area, we can still do the help through video. So we do Zoom consultations. We do video exchange for positional correctness. So if you want any help, but you're not in the local area, I can still help if you're interested in stuff like this. But these are the things that often when people are experiencing pain, it's not for lack of effort. They're trying their best. They're just trying their best at the wrong things. So we have to find better positions. We have to find ways to correct imbalances that maybe may have developed over years. So one person I'm working with in Spain, they had kind of imbalances that had developed over years of doing CrossFit. So they were very kind of quad dominant and lower back dominant. What this means is when we squat, we would love to have kind of a joint effort between the quadriceps, hamstrings, glutes, and lower back. When I say quad dominant, it means that they were using too much of their quads due to their positioning, and they weren't using enough of their hamstrings and glutes. So that underdeveloped their hamstrings and glutes, that overdeveloped their quads, they end up having hip pain and back pain. So all the way from Spain, we've been exchanging videos for, I think, 12 to 16 weeks now. They have no pain whatsoever. We were able to get rid of that within the first 4 weeks. And now they're hitting super heavy squats, super heavy deadlifts, feeling super strong. Now what we've run into is just a couple muscular strains or annoyances or difficulties related to the stress load that we can create in the workouts. Because now they're doing like PR level efforts in these lifts that are associated to their weaknesses. So these are things that, like, oh man, this thing is like super freaking sore, and then 2 or 3 days later we do a little massage work, totally fine, it's healthy, and they're moving up in their workouts again. So if you're not local, I can still help. Just let me know. Just shoot us an email at brittleirongym@gmail.com, or you can reach us at our website at www.brittleirongym.com. A couple things I want to announce in regards to ways in which we can help is we are now currently offering free consultations that we are turning into live podcasts. Now, it isn't live in the sense that when you listen to it, it's going to be live. But when I record it with the person, I'm going to be recording it as them and I talk. And we're basically just going to cover whatever your struggles are. We're going to take 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes-ish. We're going to tell you how to fix it for free. We're just going to record it in a podcast so other people can learn from it as well. So I've had people take me up on this offer. We're currently scheduling some. I have a couple more slots I kind of was thinking about doing. So if anybody else is interested, please reach out before I kind of fill them up, because then I might not want to do it as much as I'm willing to do it now. So take advantage of my eagerness. You can reach us again if you're interested in that at email, brittleirongym@gmail.com. The other thing we have is we have a nutrition education workbook that we're developing. A nutrition education workbook that has the acronym NEW, so new. So we're touting this as a new approach to a new you. And what it is it's 10 steps that'll help you become a new you in regards to learning nutrition, proper nutrition, and also physical movement. So this is a program intended to teach you about nutrition. So this is not a diet where the rules are created by somebody else. This is an education program to teach you how to write your own rules. We're offering it now as because we're still developing the program, but we would like to have people participate so I can kind of refine this. If you're interested in this, it'll be the cheapest you'll ever get it. So please let us know if you're interested. And we're working with you. We're trying to get case studies and things like that. But it's going to teach you what are your right calories, how do you develop caloric consistency, understanding macronutrients, why do we eat carbs, fats, and proteins, why, the why, what, when of all that stuff. We're going to talk about how to divvy out your caloric intake throughout the day, talk about hydration, we talk about physical movement, we talk about how to make that all a lifestyle, how to be consistent with it and develop it into an everyday routine. So it's an educational process. I think it's freaking awesome. I'm super, super excited about this. So if you would like to participate in it, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Great. So that's all the offers. That's all that good stuff. So thank you for listening today. I hope that it was helpful. I hope it kind of raised some awareness to different things you might want to consider in your own lifts. If you think the podcast is helpful in any way whatsoever, please share the podcast. You can share it in social media. You can share it in an email. You can share it in a conversation, text message. But just please share the podcast. We're really wanting this to grow. So that way we can help more people get good, healthy information, not the crazy BS that's out there in the world today. Also, if, like I said, if you want more information, you can always email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can always find more information on our social media channels, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. So we're here. We're always here. We're always happy to help. Just let us know. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.